Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 248. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Yay, back from Las Vegas, still recovering.
And Phil Wilson.
Good morning. How are you?
You know what I'm realizing? Good. We're good. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm realizing that whenever I play the blues, I should introduce Graham as Graham Cracker Thickens.
Blind Melon Thickens.
Like you've never heard that before, right? You've never teased like that when you were a kid about Graham crackers? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So what is cracker as relates to blues?
Well, cracker is a white guy.
Oh, yeah. You mean the artist Cracker?
No, I just never mind. Let's not.
You know, I love it when white guys use white guy slang.
Yeah, I know.
You cracker.
I know. Okay,
well, listen, it's another day, and another 70 million customers had their accounts stolen.
Up to 110
million. 110 million, yeah.
Will it get to 150? That's the question.
So, no.
Well, this is not exactly my security tip of the week, and we're only going to spend another minute on this. But next week, this coming week,
another 50
Target. Million. No. Target will announce plans that they will free of charge protect your identity and your credit thing, your credit score. So there'll be a service that they'll offer to anyone who wants to take advantage of it. And
you have to be one of the victims or just anybody at all?
Well, good question.
If you get it for free, you got to be one of the victims, right?
Yeah, I suppose they've got a list of, they know who used it so they can check against the list.
You have to give them your account number.
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they go to the hacker site
and send it by email.
Yeah, with your password attached.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oh God. Oh my God. Well,
okay. So Tim, you're our retail guy. So, what's this mean for Target? What's the impact?
They're still not really getting out in front of this. It's interesting to look at what they've done over the past 6 weeks on this thing versus what Chris Christie did, 24 hours into his crisis. He's certainly handling things much better, and Target continues to really their whole reputation is just going down the chute very, very quickly. I mean, not quickly. Very, very slowly, but because they're just not out in front of it at all. They're still acting very aloof and very Target-y. So
very Target-y.
Yeah. No, they are I think I've said this before, they're like the Apple of retailers. I mean, their style is very aloof. Public relations. And they're handling this crisis the same way, which they shouldn't. If you read all of the communiques that are coming out of Steinhoffel's office now, he continues to call Target shoppers guests, which of course is what they call them internally, but he should call them customers, actually, because that's...
A guest is just a people,
So victims was taken, so...
Right. And I put that Facebook page link in. Just if you just go and you look at a smattering of customer reaction there, it's very, very stinging. And a lot of people are saying they're never going to shop at Target again because of this.
What's interesting is a lot of the comments are not necessarily critical of the fact or as concerned that the data breach happened. I think that is
the reality of this
world is that your data is at risk all the time. So, but it's the reaction. It's taking so long to come clean about this.
Yeah. I think when we see their financials for Christmas, we'll see that, they were very badly affected by it. And it would be interesting, of course, we'll never know, but it'd be interesting if they had really gotten out in front of it very quickly as it happened, if their sales would have been as bad as they probably will be.
Well, and here's a woman, based on my debit card post on Minivate, a woman who said our debit card was completely wiped out last night on payday. Now I'm getting the runaround from Target saying there's nothing to be done.
Oh, my God.
She's going to have to fight with her bank and the whole thing to try to get money put back in her account. But, what about people that have to buy groceries? Mm-hmm. What if it takes 2 months to get the money back?
Mm-hmm.
I have one word for you, Steve.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah, I know, but that's
old hard cash.
That's so last century, Tim. Come on.
I'm already thinking Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, let's go over to Tires Plus and buy some tires with Bitcoin.
Oh, by the way, I still don't understand Bitcoin. But anyway, yeah. Moving on.
Hey, by the way, Neiman Marcus just reported that they had a breach as well. So if you have a Neiman Marcus credit card like my bride, she has a credit card for literally every retailer on the planet, I think. But let's segue
into digress.
the biggest thing ever, which is this week.
I know.
Which is an adventure that our own Graham Thickens went to, the Consumer Electronics Show, CES in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Graham's amazing adventure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Did you have a good time, Graham?
Well, no, because I worked my butt off the whole time. I mean, there was no time for fun, really, except for an occasional surprise that I ran into wandering by a booth. But no, I was out there working on assignment, heads down pretty much the whole time. But I did go in early on Sunday. I had a 7 a.m. flight. So I was literally at the Vegas airport at like 8:15 in the morning on Sunday. So I had a chance to hit a couple of press events.
I thought you were going to say slot machines.
No, didn't touch one of those. But I got a chance after working all day in my hotel room to hit a couple of startup press events. Well, not totally focused on startups. One of them was. And I got to see some cool stuff at those events. The first one and the highlight of the show for me really was DJI.com, the drone company out of Shenzhen, China. I mean, to me, that was the hit of the show, seeing the flying camera. I mean, I want one of these things. Wow. It's a flying drone, you know, GoPro type thing, you know, $1,200, and it is amazing. It was the first thing I saw at one of the press events Sunday night, and their booth happened to be near my client in the LVH, which is the old Las Vegas Hilton, the LVH Convention Center. And I got to see those things demonstrated and talk to a bunch of the guys they had there in the booth. So that was the highlight for me, and that's in the show notes. And there were some other cool things. Have you guys heard of Elio Motors? It's a company that bought a Hummer factory that when GM, you know, downsized from Hummer. And I think it's down in Louisiana, and they're building this one-passenger car that gets 84 miles an hour. Well, it's actually not a one-passenger. It's wide enough for one, but you can put somebody behind it. It's like a motorcycle, like a tricycle motorcycle-type chassis, but with a real engine in it, a modified Geo Metro three-cylinder that'll get you. I forget what the top speed is on the highway. I'm sure it's, you know, 70 or something. And it'll get you 84 miles a gallon.
That's the three-wheel car. Yeah.
And are you ready for the price? $6,800, baby. And it looks pretty cool when you go to eliomotors.com and check it out. So just happened to run into that at the Showstoppers press event on Tuesday night where my client was. And then Phil brought up Bitcoin. There was a whole Bitcoin section of startups at one of the events I went to Sunday night called Startup Debut. And one of them was a Bitcoin ATM, which I had sure never heard of. This particular ATM was you put money in like a $50 bill and it gives you Bitcoin on your device, or I don't know. I didn't even pay that much attention whether it gives it to you on a thumb drive or what, but go look at it. Llamasu.is in the show notes. So that was kind of fun.
Did you by any chance, out of the Twin Cities companies, did you see MakerBot's replicator? I mean,
I did.
The holodeck hasn't been shipped yet, right, from Gene Roddenberry's startup. But the replicator?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a price either.
No, I don't. But it made the best of list. I think it's on Engadget's best of list and others. And, you know, Julio wrote about it since it's technically a product owned by Stratasys.
Right.
So it was in his story that came out just ahead of CES or on the day it opened. But no, I didn't run into it. But again, I was not roaming the halls. I mean, other than one walk to South Hall, which was a long slog from LVH where I was, I really only was focusing on my client and picking things up as I just happened to see him.
Can you tell us who your client was there that week? Or you would rather not?
Canopy.
Okay, great.
And you know, they just, you know, knocked it out of the park. I mean, there's so much coverage. It was crazy. I mean, they even made the front page of HuffPost Tech at one point. And, you know, everybody from The Verge and, you know, Apple Insider and, you know, the whole long list of media that they picked up that still isn't done coming in. And then I ran into the quadcopter guys, the little gaming drone toy product, the $99 product that Julio wrote about.
And Rand Paul, the senator, showed
on Greta on Fox News.
Yeah.
He's flying as he gets one for his birthday, which is January 7th, and he's literally flying it on what was live TV. and he did it, and the QFO guys were kind of amazed that, you know, he was able to, under the pressure of national TV, he was able to fly the thing. It wasn't a very long clip, but like Julio said, it was a nice little, you know, unexpected plug for a local. You know, and this was a company that didn't even have its own booth at CES. I mean, they're not that big. They're three guys. But they were featured in one of their suppliers' booths, kind of like SmartThings did last year where they were part of a larger booth. Well, QFO Labs was part of the Nordic Semiconductor booth where they got to demo one day. So anyway, I ran into them. It's weird how you run into people, you know, like there's close to 200,000 people or whatever it is. And I just happened to run into those guys. And then somebody else I ran into from Minneapolis, I'm blanking now. My mind is still, you know, kind of trashed from the, ADD fest. But yeah, it's crazy how you'll just run into people serendipitously that you would never expect. You know, you'd run into, but anyway, it was a wild, wild scene, and lots of show notes here on different or stuff in the show notes that'll be posted about the. There's a pretty interesting story recap by somebody at InfoWorld about how it's really not about, you know, it's about life after the PC, but you know, CES just continues to go on and. All this crazy new stuff. I mean, well, you can't take it in. There is no way anyone can just, quote, cover the CES show. You know, it's way, way too big to get
your... Well, the only way to do it is a friend of mine worked for a distributor that was Sony's largest display monitor distributor, and he was going out to CES, and Sony arranged for a limo, and the guy picks him up at the airport. But yeah. He said, just so you know, you have a limo available to you 24/7 while you're here. And yep. Pete said, literally said, Steve, it was the greatest ever because the limo literally drove me right to the front door of a hall. And
yep.
I would call the guy and come out and get in the car. He'd drive me to the next hall.
Yep.
I mean, how awesome would that? It's like having your own private jet. But here's the thing I wanted to ask though, real quickly, and I haven't really seen a lot of photos of the show floor, but I, you know, I've been to probably 15 CESs. They used to hold it in January in Vegas and in June in Chicago, and that's when all the Japanese vendors, everybody had these enormous booths that they'd spend millions of dollars.
That's when that's when it was electronics. I mean,
that's when it was electronics.
It was not necessarily just computer. You know, CES has kind of become tech, and then it was like home entertainment. So.
Well, but you know, it'd be interesting. I was going to go this year, but I couldn't. And I was wondering about the shift that it seems to be shifting toward startups. It seems to be shifting towards more connected devices. Everybody said this was the year of the Internet of Things for CES. Is that what you saw too, Graham?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Well, yeah, but that got kind of panned by somebody. Was it Engadget that said that was kind of a disappointment to them?
Interesting.
Okay. Well, maybe that was more wearables. They kind of panned wearables, and nobody really came out with anything that was all that exciting. But Internet of Things didn't get as big a play as I thought it might in the awards, you know, the best ofs that everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I didn't have time to focus on it. Did you see that cool little weird doll thing? What's it called?
Oh, the Mama or the Mother?
Sense Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. And somebody gave that an Internet of Things award. It might have been The Verge. And because they said it just makes it understandable for the average Joe instead of, you know, geeks like you, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
No, I mean, it was a product that, you know, goes beyond the early adopter stage, tries to take it to the, you know, to the consumer that doesn't care about the, you know, the underlying technology. But, you know, but I was hearing things like, you know, people don't want a refrigerator, you know, that you can text from or whatever, you know. I mean, it was overhyped to many, you know.
Yeah.
And still playing out as wearables are, you know.
Well, again, everybody's expectations are so high.
Yeah.
What's going to happen and what's going to be shown and so forth. And it is funny to see this MakerBot replicator. I did find the price, by the way. It's $2,899.
Oh, it's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
Get me two of them.
Well, then you got to buy the materials and you got to, you know, buy the designs and all that, unless you're going to design your own.
Okay. Three of them.
But the point though is that everybody's view, it seems, of things like the replicator is, well, that's really cool, but when can I buy a design from Samsung or Apple and print my smartphone?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's going to take a while to get there.
Well, it's like Tim says about the, what do you call the 4K TVs? There's no freaking content, right? Or very little of it.
There will be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there will be eventually.
Netflix is doing a lot of stuff in 4K.
Well, although Sony showed a handheld 4K camcorder, a little teeny one, for $2,000.
Huh.
So,
I'll be damned.
So yeah, it's going to continue to happen. By the way, a friend of mine showed me, this is totally a tangent, but just a real quick thing about 4K video, showed the new Mac Pro with, 32 gigs of RAM in it or 64 or something like that. But this guy had Final Cut Pro open. He was taking a 4K video. He applied something like 16 or 18 filters to the video. And for anyone who's ever done any video editing, when you apply one or two filters and you have to render the video, you may as well go take a nap, right? And this thing had like 16 or 18 filters, and it was rendering in real time. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I'll see if I can find this video and put it in the show notes. But that's...
Well, rendering in real time, what do you mean? It's just rendering faster? Or,
no, you know? I mean, you literally push play, and all the filters are running. And it's actually happening as you're looking at the video, rather than you have to render it, and then it literally has to build every single frame one at a time. And if you've got, you know, 10,000 frames, it's going to take a little while. And this was just, you push play, and all the filters were actually happening in real time. So the point, though, is that there's things like that. You know, if you make your living at video editing, you're going to go wild over that machine. But for the average consumer... you know, they look at wearables and they look at Internet of Things and they look at a lot of this stuff and go, okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's, you know, without seeing what's happening. But it looks like 4K TVs. Tim, don't you think the 4K TVs are going to happen? I mean, Vizio's got one for $999 and Dell has a 4K for $699.
Yeah, no, people are going to buy them. I saw one at a Best Buy over the holidays, and it looks really good. It's just, if you've already bought TVs, you know, I just bought a new HD set. I'm not going to buy another one for 4K. you know, for a long time. I mean, maybe the next one I buy in 5-6 years, maybe it'll be a 4K. I don't know. Probably. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the, you know, the HD is good enough. It'll be interesting to see, you know.
I'm waiting for NCIS just to come to my house and perform the show. So
there you go. There you go.
It just seems like 3D was the thing of a couple years ago that everyone was putting in the TVs and the 3D was going to be a big thing. And of course it wasn't. And then 4K seems like the next 3D to me. You know, it's like, okay, it looks a little bit better, but it's not like going from standard definition to HD where you saw a huge difference. This is some more incremental. And you've got the problem of you don't really have a lot of content that's being shot on 4K today.
Right.
The big surprise in televisions that I read that in Gadget or somebody wrote about was the curved
screen
TV, which is actually going to be available. And I don't know if they announced a price, but they announced that it's going to be a real product this year, which people weren't necessarily expecting.
Yeah, you can put your $8,000 Mac Pro as your home theater PC on that one.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but then you need a big hard drive. So this is a kind of a mundane question, Graham, but in CES's past, people have complained about the mobile network connectivity and Wi-Fi availability and all of that, and especially press people would whine about it, even in the press room, that the connections were just so horrible that the only way to get a reliable connection was to go up and plug your laptop into an Ethernet connection. Did you notice any difference this year?
No, I didn't. But again, I was primarily on AT&T's signal and never had a hitch ever.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're beefing things up.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't, you know, the only Wi-Fi I was using was in the hotel, really, now that I think about it. Well, my client had a private meeting room in the LVH and they had their own, you know, their own connection there. So I was able to, you know, other than that, in the press events, I suspect they had good Wi-Fi, but I didn't bother. I just stayed on AT&T and never had any problems. I didn't hear any complaints from anyone at all. So that might be
That's why I asked, because I haven't read any either. So that tells me that it was a non-issue. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And it is a huge mob. I don't know how they do it, you know, but they do it.
Yeah.
So incredible. it was quite the week.
Well, and somebody mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I was absolutely blown away by the numbers that Gartner released, the analyst group, about 2013 was the worst decline in PC market history.
Yep. 10%.
Did you guys see that? Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, the trend line is certainly not going in the right direction.
No, post-PC. It isn't.
That's why they call it post-PC.
Post-PC.
Yeah.
Intel, you know, had a big presence at CES, and somebody commented that hardly anything they were talking about had anything to do with PCs.
Wow.
So, you know, talk about a company in a transition, huh?
Well, you know what's interesting is I stopped at Office Depot yesterday. I needed a long power strip, and they have all kinds of netbooks and Chromebooks and PC laptops lined up, and the price points have gotten almost laughingly cheap. I mean, you could buy the Acer Chromebook for $179, and I mean, it was a fairly nice looking little device. And some of the laptops that were there that had i5 chips, you know, there's various flavors of them, of course, but had i5 chips in them were $479. I thought, my God, I mean, so they're just giving these things away too. And the sales are still dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So I'm going to go out and get a new one.
A new PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I need one.
Well, just so everyone knows, Phil just bought a MacBook Pro 15-inch Retina.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
I love it. It's very nice.
The only downside is doing a lot of web graphics for our company. You know, we've got stuff up all over the place, and I was disappointed when I looked at stuff on the Retina iPad. Now when I look at it on the Retina MacBook that I've got, it's like, man, does this look bad? I mean, it looks really fuzzy and horrible. And, you know, but the trade-off is, you know, scalable vector graphics, SVG, has never really taken off. And that would do it all right there.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. It's never taken. I have no idea.
Oh, well, SVG is like a font. You know, where it's mathematical rendering of it. Yeah.
So
you can have a graphic that can be any size and it looks exactly the same high resolution. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What you said.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, this thing with Google Plus, you know, about their allowing anyone who's in your Google Plus circles to automatically be able to email you. What did you guys think of that?
It just seems odd.
Yeah.
Why would they do this?
They're trying to get Google Plus to move in the right direction.
To do anything. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I'm sort of in the middle on Google Plus. I do look at it a few times a week and I think it looks good.
It's beautiful and it's
probably used more than I use Facebook now. So that's good. But this seems like it's just going to turn me off on it. And I'll just go, oh, screw that. You know?
Well, if you go to your Google Plus account on the left side, you can click and hover or click on the home button, go down to settings. You can go in and turn off stuff. So if you have, you know, there's something that says receive notifications, get notified by email or phone when someone posts or is in your circles and so on. You can drop those down. You can turn things off. Like, I don't want stuff coming to my phone.
Yeah.
I don't want people emailing me that I don't know. You know, things like that. So,
right.
So you can turn it off, but that's how you do it.
It seems like an odd thing for them to do. That's all.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to tie the two together because also they're doing the same thing on YouTube with your YouTube account.
Yeah, that's very, you know, I don't know. I don't like that because I've got a lot of clients that we use YouTube, but we don't use Google Plus for, you know, intentionally don't use Google Plus. And, you know, just recently it like auto creates a Google Plus account for your YouTube account. And then you have to go back and very carefully turn the Google Plus account off or delete your YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, why do they, you know,
it's not easy.
There are applications where you only want to use one service, not, you know, have a Google Plus profile.
Well, and see, the challenge is also is that you can't, I mean, for example, in WordPress, it's really difficult to push things to your Google Plus account. There are ways to do it, but it's not easy.
They just kind of consider you're really not interested in doing that.
Yeah. Well, they just haven't opened an API to make it simple. Mm-hmm. But I do like the thing that about having, you know, a real human with a real Google Plus account be able to comment on places like YouTube and all that. This Ars Technica article that we have a link in the show notes at the bottom, it says, and for a while on YouTube, people were posting ASCII penises thanks to Google Plus. Yeah, and it's like, what? Yeah, and it's just because of different permissions issues. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's got to get worked out, but yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of penises,
nice segue, Graham.
Snapchat. Did you see the announcement that some ex-AOL exec has launched a Snapchat for professionals?
Oh yes, yes.
So Snapchat for professionals. What does that mean?
Supposedly to do things, business related things that they don't want captured forever. Like, I'm assuming it would be more like messages than photos. But
they realize, of course, that it is captured forever.
Well, I don't know. I didn't, you know.
Of course.
I didn't read the, you know. But
everything
yes.
on the internet is captured forever. Come on, people.
Well, that's what they're saying about Snapchat, I guess. So,
well, this is
not as ethereal as you think it is.
Yeah. Well, this is called Confide. Is the name of the service. So I'll put a link in the show notes. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but I've been following, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 people on Vine. And I've only done a couple of Vines myself, but you look at the at most of the things that are on Vine, I'd say 99.8% are things that I don't care about. And I've deleted the app now on my phone. I don't even, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
So I wonder.
I'll catch my wife or my daughter every once in a while, kind of going through some Vines. But yeah, I don't see it taking off.
Yeah. What is the length, the maximum length
of six of a video? Seconds.
Yeah. Now, is it Instagram that offers more like up to 15 seconds?
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That would seem to make a little more sense, but I don't really follow either.
Yeah. It's really strange. Myself. So. That's really strange.
Huh. Hmm. Harumph. Yeah. You know, did anybody mention the Pebble Steel debut?
Yeah, I tried to, but it was in the background. So what do you think about that, Phil? Are you going to trade your classic Pebble in for Steel?
Probably not.
It looks.
I don't know. It looks a little better.
You know, the thing that bothered me, though, is that it's not curved like a watch would be.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Why do you do that? It seems like an obvious thing. Maybe it's the material.
Give it a gentle little curve. Yeah.
I don't know. At least if I can see that maybe the screen you can't curve because it's e-ink and maybe they don't have curved e-ink screens.
Well, I mean, the screen right now on the current version has got a little bit of a curve to it.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know, I should say the case over the screen. I mean, you can't necessarily say it's the screen. But yeah, there's a curve on it. It's very small, but yeah. It looks a little, I'm trying to remember. It looks a little Casio to me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of harkens back to that old school Casio square look, but.
I like the black one though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black band looks good.
So, in case you haven't seen it, Pebble Steel is just basically a new revamped version of the Pebble. It's a little more, well, it's made with more steel. So, hence the name.
It was steel, yeah.
It's made with steel, but
and it costs $100 more, so it's $250.
Yeah.
Do you wear yours every day, Phil?
Me? No, not every day. Only because I like when I wear it because I never miss a call and I never miss a text or an email, an important email. That's what I like about it. But I still kind of look at watches as a little bit more of a fashion thing. So I have a bunch of different watches that I wear.
So will the Steel take close to a year to get, or?
No, it comes out, what, later?
I think they have real production now.
Yeah, okay.
They're talking about it like next month or something. So.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you that there's nothing more frustrating than my wife and I are at the Mall of America, and she's shopping somewhere, and I'm trying to text or call her, and she can't hear her phone. And I call and I call and I call and I call and or I text and she's totally oblivious. And then finally she'll peek at her phone and, oh, geez, you know, 6 missed calls from Steve. Yeah, I better call him back. And so a wearable would be nice in that.
Yeah, in that scenario. That's a perfect scenario for one. Yeah,
right.
That happens to a lot of people.
And so that would be nice, but for the most part, wearable tech, I have yet to imagine anything that I would care about.
Well, I think you still wear watches, right?
So. No, I mean, I have a really cool watch that the kids got me a year ago for my birthday, but I don't wear it very often. I don't like jewelry. I mean, it was a big deal for me to wear a wedding ring, and I took it off once and I got yelled at.
All so hell
I,
broke
I never,
loose.
Yeah, I never. You're still. You're I still never took it off again.
You're still walking a little funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And
I wear a watch every day. I feel naked without my watch on. My Swiss Army watch.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta have it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I'm either. I have my phone. I have my iPad, and I have my laptop, and one of those three is within reach at any given point in time. If I'm in a meeting, I'm typically taking notes on my iPad, and there's a clock on top of it, so I don't have to glance at my watch. I got pretty good at glancing at my watch during meetings if I had to be somewhere else. You know, right. You sort of surreptitiously look down at your watch,
Yeah, it's nice not to have to dig something out of your pocket to just see what time it is, you know.
Right.
If you're sitting in a meeting, your iPhone's probably not down in your pocket. It's probably on the table, but you know, there are times when it's down in your pocket and that's not fast enough for me to get the time.
Yeah.
I got to know right now, you know.
Well, have you guys, is there anything that has come out? Because I've got one thing I want to bring up, but is there anything that's come out as a service, as a SaaS, software as a service, anything that you've been using lately that you know a lot of people don't know about and you think is interesting?
Well, you know, landing page optimization, I think, is pretty cool, you know, service that, you know, like leadpages.net, the local startup that got $5 million in funding, they're into that. I'm not doing it yet for any clients or, you know, or certainly not for myself, but being able to just pay a monthly subscription to do that kind of stuff is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very expensive. I mean, there are lots of services that are trying to do marketing optimization, marketing automation. Some of them can get pretty pricey, you know, like HubSpot and others. But
right.
I think there's plenty that are down in the, you know, the $100 a month range or a couple hundred dollars a month. I have no idea what lead pages is cost wise, but I think it's pretty reasonable. So that would be something I'd call out.
Okay. Tim, anything that you're doing?
No, everything that I'm using is, you know, people I think already know about.
Okay.
Nothing new.
Okay. How about you, Filson?
You know, I keep finding new and different things to use, at the office as far as project management and streamlining the workflow. But again, it's not anything new and radical by any means. So, okay. What was I using? Yeah, not really. It's all pretty mundane. You know, we're very much centered around Google services. So
there's a lot.
So free stuff.
Yourself.
Well, so there's one that we implemented for
because
a client.
This is really what he was going after.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, come on.
Cutting edge.
Well, but I'm curious because there are so many services that somebody will tell me about, and I'll be like, wait a minute, what? I've never even heard of that. You know, and I try to stay on top of everything. But we just implemented they call it a CRM for WordPress, customer relationship management. It's not really a full blown CRM. You know, it's kind of a poor man CRM, but, we uploaded all the clients, members, and you can email from within any page or post or event. And you can push that email out through a WordPress template in the system, which I don't recommend on a shared server because most of the hosts will throw up if you try to send dozens and dozens at a time. But then also, you can shove it through MailChimp into a template. And you can do reports. You can do all these saved searches. So look at all the members or look at all the members in the zip code or, you know, and then you can email to them separately and slice and dice the list. You can sync your lists with MailChimp. I mean, it's really pretty cool. It was not easy to implement. But the holy grail for most startups is recurring monthly revenue, and VCs want RMR. So what's your RMR strategy? Well, for every paid user, it's $5 a month or, you know, so most of them are going to a yearly charge, and that's what these guys do. It's, you know, it's 50 bucks a year for the Paw Press Pro and 50 bucks a year for the events and so forth, which is not bad. And most of the commercial plugins are for WordPress are typically year-long kinds of things, but I am really heartened by some of the things that I'm seeing like this that are turning WordPress as a CMS into a really truly useful business tool in new ways.
Right.
So,
but it wasn't easy to implement, you say?
Well, no, I mean, there were some pains around it. It's new. It's only on version 1.5. And, but for what it does, I mean, once we climbed learning curve and got it implemented, it was like, holy crap, I'm going to buy this and put it on our own site
sure.
for our own customers. So,
Yeah. Price is Right. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That beats, a couple hundred bucks a month or, whatever all these other highfalutin ones charge.
Well, you know, but that's that.
I love the highfalutin.
Well, oh, yeah.
But the thing is, when you look at having virtual assistants and things like that, for the most part, if you are using Yahoo Mail, Hotmail, or Gmail, and you set up an email forwarder so that everything at info@your domain name goes to your regular email address, most of the hosted providers throw up on that. They'll just throw it right in spam. And so you need to set up a real email address to have stuff go out. But a lot of people don't even know any of that stuff. They don't know about how to use Google Voice. So you have a phone number for your nonprofit or your startup or your small business. And you can have numbers underneath that go to anybody. So there's so many services out there to take advantage of that. That's just really why I wanted to bring it up.
Right. There are a lot of services available. So.
Yeah.
Well, listen, speaking of the services available and things starting sort of picking up as far as events, we've got a few more events to talk about. So we ought to do a little plug there as to what's coming up that we've added to our schedule that you'll find in the show notes below. So what do we got?
Well, we got that Spark annual Celebration of Innovation event. Right. They're going to have a cocktail party and then an event starting at 7. Four entrepreneurs, including a couple of TV people. Colleen Needles used to be at WCCO.
Former TV people.
Former TV people. And the moderator is Rick Capcella from Bring Me the News Now. He was at Care 11, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's a couple of entrepreneurs. One guy that is an innovator in whiskey, right?
Yeah, two gingers.
Two gingers.
How much money you can make with cheap whiskey.
He's at
Costco a lot, signing bottles.
Seriously?
Sure, why not?
Of his cheap whiskey. Yeah, the one over in Burnsville. Yeah,
sure,
seen him
why not?
A few times.
And then the keynote is by a guy that has a bunch of sites, Christian Mingle and jdate.com for Jewish singles. Silver singles for seniors and so on. And he's going to be the keynoter.
There you go.
And that's Greg Lieberman, right? Or right. Lieberman. Lieberman.
I think it's Lieberman. I'm not sure though. Yeah. Huh. So, yeah.
And he's CEO of Spark Networks.
Spark Networks. Exactly.
Not Spark Devices, but Spark Networks.
Yep. Right. And then, does anybody know that Beta MN, which is on the 30th. Are tickets still available? Does anybody know?
I haven't looked, but I certainly know all about it. I know the guys behind it that have been plotting this for a few months. And it's yet another place where startup hopefuls and, entrepreneurs can get together and share stories and I guess demo at the event, which I don't know how they're going to do that because it's in a bar. It's what brewery is it? I saw the name of it. It's a craft.
The Day Block Brewery on Washington.
Yeah, there you go. And it's, what is that, 10th in Washington or 11th in Washington?
Yeah, 1103 Washington. Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Tickets are still available as far as the website goes. They're $10. So.
Yeah, but you could tweet for a free ticket if you tweeted. I don't know if they're still doing that or not, but anyway, January the 30th, a Thursday evening. Yep.
And then the STEM Expo on the 12th of February, and then this She's Geeky Minneapolis is coming up.
Oh.
And that's in mid-February.
Yeah. Do they let geeky guys in? Or?
Well, that's the one thing, because I called about it just because I was interested, from a sponsorship standpoint, and it's very much positioned as, if you look at who should attend, it's like, or who's it for? Basically, it's very much all women, and so which is fine. I just don't know if I want to, am I invited? Am I welcome?
It's the blonde, drag out the blonde wig, baby.
If I have a penis, can I come? Is that okay?
Well, I don't know if you remember.
Only if you use Snapchat.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you remember the event from, there was another women's event here at the convention center in 2013. And mm-hmm. there were a couple of guys that I saw in photos, but that was about it.
Yeah, so, I saw it.
And they were the bus boys.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know.
But look, anything that encourages women in tech, yes, go. Be part
of it.
Behind
it. Absolutely.
Just be part of it. So,
we're totally supportive.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah, you got it. We need to make a shift. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And what else is coming up?
Mobile March.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And that's in March. That. It was going to be in February, but.
But
then they'd have to change the name.
I'm tripping off the tongue.
Mobile Feb just doesn't do it for you.
And we are putting together the agenda. We should have some keynote speaker announcements for everybody soon. So tickets are available for that.
Great.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be great.
At the Earl Brown Farm thing again.
Yeah, right? We're out at the farm thing again.
Yeah, that's a good venue. I like it up there.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Absolutely.
We're looking forward to some big stuff. So hopefully you can join us for that. So get your tickets now while they're still on discount.
Absolutely.
Early price is $85. So.
And then, everyone, please join us again next week for
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Take care.
Have a good warm weekend.